Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. I'm pleased to be joined by Chip Davis, president and CEO of the Healthcare Distribution Alliance, a national organization that represents primary pharmaceutical distributors. Among multiple topics on today's agenda, he'll be diving into one of the HDA's more recent supply chain education events that just occurred, the challenges presented to distributors, FDA's stabilization period, and plenty more. So, Chip, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Nico, good to see you. Thanks for your time, as always.
Most definitely. So, as you know, the Distribution Management Conference and Expo, also known as DMC, it's what you guys consider to be the largest supply chain education event. So I'm wondering, in your perspective, what do you find to be some of the advantages and benefits of this event? And keeping that in mind, what kind of value do you think that it provides for the industry? What kind of insight do you think people benefit from when they attend the event?
Nico, thanks for the question. It's actually very timely because we just came off of our annual distribution management conference, what, as you referred to, is we think of as DMC in March. It's usually held in March of every year. This year, we held it out in California. What I think the unique aspect of it is, as an educational conference, is that we seek to get a really good balance of ensuring that for attendees and registrants that we are providing sort of what the latest updates and relevant issues are in the supply chain and in the overall pharmaceutical marketplace from a business perspective, latest trends, best practices, things that people are beginning to ask questions about, and then marrying it up oftentimes with what's going on in the public policy environment, whether it's here in Washington, D.C., at the state level, whether it's things that Congress is looking at, or various regulatory agencies. And what's really interesting is that those issues are beginning to, more than ever before, in terms of their impact on the supply chain, they're beginning to converge. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we are seeing year over year growth in this conference. We have not only caught up to attendance levels that were in place pre-COVID, but we're now exceeding them. And we're excited about, you know, the future starting in 2025 and beyond, about what we can even further grow that conference into as we move forward.
And you mentioned how beneficial it is. If there were any tidbits that you could pull out from the top of your head, were there any specific highlights from the show that kind of stood out to you this year?
As an example, I think one of the things that we're very fortunate, in part because of what we do as an advocacy organization on a regular basis, is you'll not only hear our perspective on some pressing sort of legislative or regulatory issues, but because of the nature of our interactions, we have representatives from, for example, the Food and Drug Administration, from the DEA, from state boards of pharmacy. So when you're talking about issues like the pending full-on implementation of the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, it's great to be able to hear the perspective from distributors and manufacturers and the pharmacy community about their approach. But it's really important to make sure that that aligns with the view of the agency that's responsible for its implementation, which is the FDA. So to me, and that was both this year, because as you mentioned in your opening, we're in a stabilization period, but that is in existence in terms of the opportunities that are created by DMC to be able to get that perspective from the government and then either ensure it aligns to the view that the supply chain has, or in certain instances, pressure test where there are differences and look to reconcile it.
And you mentioned that stabilization period. I'm happy you brought that up because I did want to certainly get to that. Now, since you guys sent that, I believe it was last August when the FDA announced it, and you at the HDA had sent your recommendations for how to approach the preparation in terms of the DSCSA. Yep. What progress would you say has been made toward full connectivity? And what do you think are some of the more significant issues for trading partners today?
First of all, I think the FDA showed real leadership last August. And actually, their announcement, speaking of our conferences, coincided with another one of our conferences, our traceability conference, which really focuses on DSCSA implementation and other issues related to traceability of product and medicine within the supply chain. But one of the things that both the supply chain and the government was focused on last year was the potential unintended consequences of the November 2023 deadline for fall on implementation, running the risk, if the supply chain wasn't fully prepared for DSCSA implementation, of exacerbating another very real issue right now, which is that of drug shortages. So I think what the FDA looked at and said is, okay, we're still going forward. They have made it clear that their expectations was that everybody needed to be ready for the original 10-year final implementation deadline, but that they were going to create a 12-month stabilization period where it was going to allow, whether you're a manufacturer, whether you're a distributor, whether you're a pharmacy, any other stakeholder in the supply chain, to ensure that you are ready when they begin to not only review, but begin to enforce the authorities of the act. And so I think this 12-month period from last November to this November is intended to make sure that everybody isn't sort of relaxing on that standard, but is using that time to ensure they're full on ready for it come this November.
I kind of like to ask the wholesalers and the manufacturers, and I'd be interested to get your perspective. How ready is the industry overall, I would say, as we approach that deadline?
I'll speak for distributors because that's obviously primarily who we represent. We do have manufacturing members and we talk to them pretty regularly as well as an associate membership. I would say things are trending the right way, but as I don't hesitate to share with you because we share with our members, we tell every distributor, don't be partially ready for this. Be ready because we're taking the FDA at their word as sort of where they are currently. And we think that it is going to be really important to make sure there are no unnecessary disruptions in the flow of medicine, sort of from alpha to omega, if you will. And I would also say, while we focus mostly our work in the advocacy and policy space, if any particular entity within the supply chain is not ready for fall implementation, then I would say with respect, they're probably at some degree of business risk compared to their competitors in the market that are at full preparation for implementation. So again, those are the types of conversations that we try to, or at least communications we try to convey to our members to make sure that they're using this time to their advantage.
I know you referenced earlier this challenge of drug shortages. Now, would you mind just breaking down for the listeners, what are some of those root causes that are responsible for the drug shortages, and how are distributors working to kind of help mitigate those issues?
The reality with drug shortages is it's a critically important issue and a highly complex issue because there's unfortunately not a one size fits all root cause. If there was, I think the supply chain would have rectified it by now. And let me start with the good news. The good news is that drug shortages impact about 1% of the total prescriptions that are in the marketplace. So by and large, the supply chain has and continues to work well. But that's not a sufficient answer for the providers and the patients that are impacted by that 1%, particularly if you think about where predominantly drug shortages arise, which is in the area of generic sterile injectables. So we have been working, quite frankly, as HDA with our membership to sort of lean in because we think we're a key part of helping address and alleviate drug shortages as opposed to exacerbating them. And I think the first thing you have to do is identify what type of shortage are you talking about. Is this a shortage as a result of a lack of available product in the supply chain? The number one issue driving drug shortages are manufacturing related issues. A company may have been manufacturing product and for whatever reason, whether it's the FDA took regulatory action to suspend their production, which has happened in certain cases, or a company decides for whatever reason on their own volition to leave the market. And if they were, say, a market leader, as has happened in certain cases, that leaves a void that other manufacturers in the same class have to step into, or else you're going to increase the risk of a shortage. Or the flip side is, are there market demand shortages, right? And we've seen things like with the new GLP-1s and in other areas where the number of prescriptions have outpaced the ability of the manufacturers from an assembly line point of view, if you will, for lack of a better term, to keep pace with what the growth in the demand has been. And then the potential solutions for them will depend on whether you're talking about a market-driven shortage, a supply-driven shortage, or a demand-driven shortage.
Fair enough. That's a pretty good layout. Thank you for that breakdown. And now,
sure.
Obviously, we're well into Q2 now and almost to the first half of the year. I can't believe that. But looking ahead now as we kind of transition, What key initiatives is the HCA prioritizing, and how do you think those will continue to kind of impact the future of the supply chain as we look ahead even to 2025?
We touched on a couple of those, certainly, like the DSCSA implementation between now and that November 27th date is really, really important. Drug shortages, Nico, are being looked at by multiple congressional committees. I testified before the House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee, I believe it was last September. One of our members testified before the House Ways and Means Committee earlier this year. So we think that there's going to continue to be a focus. We recognize it's an election year, and in an election year, sometimes it's hard for policy to get all the way over the finish line. But we don't think that drug shortages, unfortunately, is an issue that's going to be completely solved before the end of the year. So we know there'll be continued momentum both here in Washington and at the state level. So those are two issues that we are paying close attention to. I think the entire supply chain has been put on a higher level of alert and greater notice in the wake of some of the cyber attacks that we've seen lately. So I think everybody has to make sure that they're taking the right approach to protect themselves from that type of exposure. And then I think more broadly, coming out of COVID, where I think our members did a phenomenal job keeping the supply chain running, working closely with their upstream manufacturing partners and their downstream provider partners. One of the things we talk about a lot with our members is that the pharma supply chain specifically and the overall healthcare supply chain are under more scrutiny and have a higher level of focus within the policymaking realm than they ever did going into COVID. I think, quite frankly, in some ways, people took the effectiveness and the efficiency of the supply chain for granted. And I think because of the lessons that we've learned through COVID, some of the challenges we've had coming out the other side, that those days are in our rearview mirror and they're not coming back. So it's really, really important for us and for everybody else that's part of the supply chain to make sure that the role they play is understood, the value and the nature of the relationships, whether it's in the commercial sector, between manufacturers, wholesale distributors, health systems, pharmacies, et cetera, is understood, and always looking for ways appropriately to enhance public-private partnerships, because I think that will go a long way to addressing things like drug shortages and supply chain resiliency as we move forward.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say what I've been hearing a lot, of course, over the past few years is that not only the end-to-end supply chain resiliency, but the visibility aspect. And there's a lot of software technology out there that's working to kind of implement that and kind of boost that, as you mentioned. So I appreciate you breaking that down, Chip. So thank you for that. Hopefully I'll see you at the traceability seminar coming up in August. That's the that's the plan.
So, yes, I look forward to seeing you there. I can assure you I will be there. That's another conference where our numbers in terms of attendees is trending the right way. I think obviously because everybody needs to make sure, as we've been talking about, that they're on their game, if you will, for being ready for the implementation of DSCSA, which literally will be right around the time of that conference, Nico. We're like 90 days out. And actually, it was interesting last year. We were literally having a general session in the morning on one of the days of the conference, which was held in D.C. and will be again here this year, when the FDA made their announcement of the 12-month stabilization period. And so you can imagine that was a very lively session when we had the FDA on the stage as they were issuing an official statement for it. So there were, I'll just say, no shortage of questions from the audience then. And I suspect, while I can't assure anybody that the FDA is going to make similar announcement, I can assure you that it's a highly engaged audience and there's an opportunity for folks to both learn a lot and then we create networking, business networking opportunities throughout the course of the conference as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Talk about great timing. Something about these HDA conferences maybe brings around these announcements. So who knows?
In fairness, I think if the FDA or another government agency, and you know you're going to have a large and engaged and captivated audience, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it's one of the reasons why we value so much the ability and the willingness, quite frankly, of leaders from these government agencies to come and talk to the industry. Because I just think even, you know, where we can align, great, where we have to maybe agree to disagree on a particular policy issue, it's better to do that in an open forum, in a respectful tone, than you know, just simply sending emails back and forth.
Definitely. And obviously post-COVID too, it's like everyone continues to kind of long for that face-to-face personal connection too. So that definitely helps as well. But
didn't know how much we missed it till we didn't have it, right?
Exactly. Gives you a greater sense of perspective. So
well,
thanks, Chip.
Well said. Sure.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking it down. Thank you for joining the podcast today. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to connecting at the upcoming conference, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Nico, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of all our latest updates by visiting pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or by visiting our Audioboom page. Take care, everyone.